Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It's time to play everyone's favorite Follow the Money game. Live from the VSiN studios.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
This is door number one.
New high score!
What does high score mean? New high score, is that bad? What's that mean? Did I break it?
Or door number two.
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
Here's Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
Mike Holmes in for Pauly Howard the rest of the week. Starting the hour off with a bang here with door number one or door number two. These numbers are changing, especially with the latest start by Jacob Mizorowski by the Brewers today. But Michael, door number one, Jacob Mizorowski to win the National League Rookie of the Year, now minus 110 in that neighborhood, or Reds pitcher Chase Burns made his debut last night in the plus 750, plus 850 to one range.
I'll take Mizorowski at minus 110. I have two pieces of him, one at 10 to 1, one at 4 to 1.
Oh, you do?
From before Friday and then during that game when I was texting you. I would still bet him at minus 110. There have been no false moves from this kid. We talked about control with movement, with velocity. Plus, I like the Brewers better than the Reds. I think the Brewers are very live to win the Central and to make a deep run in the National League. So I know the price is much better on Burns, and you're going to say, well, you're buying very low on Mizorowski, but... If it's a binary choice, I'll take Mizorowski.
Well, here's the thing. Minus 110, the way this guy is going right now, might turn into minus 1,000 after his next start.
10 days ago, he was 25 to 1. Okay, so think about that.
Was he really?
Yes.
Wow. That was what, the news popped that he was going to come up and make his first start?
Yep,
he was 25 to 1? He's been pretty good, I'd say, huh? Door number one. Cal Raleigh from the Mariners to win the AL MVP around 5 to 1, or door number two, Garrett Crochet to win the American League Cy Young around 4 to 1.
I'd like door number one better here. I think what Raleigh's doing is incredible, and this will tie into the next one as well. And he's behind the plate every day. I don't know why teams keep pitching to him. I guess they think he's just lucky. I guess Craig Counsell and Rocco Baldelli think the guy's just a lucky hitter that they keep throwing to him. What he's doing is unbelievable. I mean, you can compare this season to some of the seasons Bonds had so far. And who knows what's going to happen. To your point, you said earlier, what if Judge has sent on the IL? I like that better, and I'm not saying I don't like Crochet, but I think Crochet needs to get stretched out this year. He's never pitched a lot of innings.
Okay,
remember,
fair.
The White Sox have babied him. And I do, despite giving up 4 earned last night, I think Tarik Skubal is just a machine. He's just a machine. I mean, I have Hunter Brown at 20 to 1, and I'm not really even sweating it because I don't see Skubal stubbing his toe too many times.
He's absolutely elite, right? I mean, you go back in the last 25 years, I think Skubal would probably compare favorably to any of those like all-time studs that we watched.
He can go down and away, and then up and in, up and in. He can just throw the ball to a spot, and... You know, you see a start where somebody gets 3 or 4 runs off him, you say, what's wrong with him, right?
Sure, I mean,
he gets 6 innings, 4 runs. Jeez, I mean, I remember he had a start in Houston last year. They got beat. He gave up 4 runs in 7 innings. They got beat 4-1. And what's wrong with Skubal? You're just so used to the guy throwing 7 innings a 1-runner shutout ball. He's so consistent. So because of who they're chasing, I like Raleigh better here.
Okay, fair enough. Door number one. Cal Raleigh, this is at DraftKings, over 62.5 home runs. That's plus 650. Door number two is the under 62.5 home runs at minus 1,400.
So I'm not laying $14 on anything, except maybe the sun coming up tomorrow. But it would be door number two here because of what I said, he's catching. This takes a toll. When Ohtani won MVP, 3 years ago with the Angels, and Salvi Perez had an incredible season where he hit 48 or 49 home runs and was catching every day, it still takes a toll on you physically to catch every day. And I don't know that Raleigh can sustain that pace playing the position he does. I think if you made this number, what's the break-even number? Do you know what the break-even number is on this? Is it 54.5? I would be interested in the break-even number.
Well, so I was in San Diego this past weekend with a big group of guys, you know, a couple bettors. Mm-hmm. One was an odds maker. And we were kicking this around, like, what would you make the number?
Mm-hmm.
And between the entire group, we made it between, like, 47.5 and 51.5. No, but that was also, I think he had like another huge, the day we did this, I think he had like another huge game or two. So it was before he absolutely exploded.
Oh, yeah, it was still while they were in Chicago.
It was still when he was in Chicago.
Yeah. All right.
So probably low to mid-50s, I think, would be the number, right?
Yeah, I think so. 52 or 53 and a half, maybe.
Yeah, because I think I'd go under 54 and a half.
Okay, over 51 and a half?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, right? Same with you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, door number one, the Tampa Bay Rays to win the American League East, plus 425. Door number two, the Milwaukee Brewers to win the NL Central, plus 390.
I like both of these. I'll take the Brewers. I'm really impressed with this team the last few weeks. I love the way that they play baseball the right way. They take an extra base. They get somebody on base. They don't wait. They run. They put pressure. And it's hard to throw a guy out stealing second, and especially with the – you can only disengage twice. The bases are wider. You've got a pitch clock so you know when he has to make his move.
Right.
Right? It's, everything is in favor of stealing bases. They do that. They're a very smart baseball team. I'd say right now, if you told me at even money, pick a team to win the Central, I'm going to say the Brewers over the Cubs.
At even money.
I love Tampa, though. Every year they do that. I love Tampa Bay's rotation. I asked Jensen Lewis last Thursday, and I'll be on again at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Central with Super Dave and Jensen. And the Palms pressing three at 5:40. Whose pitching starting staff would you rather have right now? This was last Thursday. Tampa Bay or Toronto? He said Tampa Bay. I love the staff. I think the kid going tonight, Rasmussen, is very underrated.
He is.
What they do with this team every year, they don't even have a home. They're playing in a minor league park. It's amazing. Another team that, you know, every time you look up, they're scoring 7-8 runs a game. I like them as well, but I like the Brewers better.
I wouldn't be surprised if both teams win their divisions.
How about that parlay? Plus 390 and plus 425. And if the Brewers get control, you can kind of hedge off it if the Rays stay close.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one right there. WNBA, door number one, the New York Liberty. This is like yes, no at Circa, by the way. The New York Liberty to repeat as WNBA champs, plus 128. The field here at Circa is minus 158.
So I would rather bet just the Liberty and the Lynx because I think that the two of them are a champ. One of them is going to be a champ. Who's the third team?
Indiana?
No, I don't think so.
They can't win it?
Well, they could, but I don't think so. I think the Atlanta Dream might be. Seattle had the third best record or fourth best record, and they went in there and beat them by double digits last night, or they had a 19-point lead. The Fever did. Liberty are in a little bit of a lull right now. If you looked last night, there were a lot of upsets in the WNBA. It's tough to win on the road, though. Lynx are playing without Collier. They were 13-1 without Collier. I would say neither. I would go, you could bet plus 128, and I think Minnesota's around 2-1 or whatever. I wouldn't take the field. I think it's a binary choice.
Okay. College football, door number one, Clemson to miss the playoff, plus 135, or your team, Notre Dame, door number two to miss at plus 145.
That's a tough one. That's a really good question. I don't know who I'd choose here. If you'd asked me this before the playoffs last year, I would have said I would have taken Clemson. But I was very impressed with Klubnik. I think this kid has a higher ceiling than I ever thought. I'll take door number two here.
You would?
Yeah.
Because I brought this up, I think it was last week with Paulie. Boy, a lot of people making the case for Clemson to like win the national title, win the ACC, be a serious threat. I don't know if I can do that with their coach.
But you don't like Dabo.
I am not a big Dabo Sweeney guy.
I was very impressed with Klubnik against Texas. I mean, he answered the bell every time they were down to it. He let him back. And if they don't get stuffed at the goal line there, that might have been a different result in that game.
Yeah, it could have been. The Chiefs to win the AFC West, minus 120. Door number two, the Eagles to win the NFC East, minus 135.
Two. Door number two. Every year, this Kansas City odds go down a little bit, right?
Notice that, yeah.
They're 350, they're 280, they're 210. Now they're one. And you know who's getting bet? Denver's the biggest mover at Circa for a division winner. Denver got bet down from like plus 450 to plus 3-something. I had it on with you.
Yeah, it was
the
plus 350,
other day.
I think.
Yeah, right? So Denver took a little bit of money. I know that nobody in, 22 years has repeated? It's since the Donovan McNabb four-peat where they went to four NFC championship games that a team has repeated in the NFC East.
Right.
I think Washington will have a much tougher schedule this year. You have a sophomore year for teams to figure out Jaden Daniels. This Philly team was so dominant, and I think the GM is so good. I'm not a big fan of their head coach, but I think they will repeat in this division. I think that's a cheap price, and maybe we're fools because it keeps happening in the NFC East, but to me, they should be more like 170.
Okay, I certainly don't think the Cowboys are going to win that division. And like you, I think that the Commanders having like a season like they did last year is out of the question to me.
Look what happened to Houston. I mean, when you go from the hunter to being the hunted, it's very difficult.
That's exactly right. I think we have one left here.
Oh, this was mine.
Okay.
Door one or door number two. Who would you rather? We moved the Vikings standard regular season win total from 8.5 to 9.5.
You did.
We started at 8.5 over minus 110, got all the way to 175, so we had to move the standard number to 9.5. So Vikings over 9.5 plus 120 or Broncos over 9.5 plus 110?
I'll say Broncos over 9.5 because I like them, but I also already bet the Vikings over 8.5.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
I have them at minus 120.
Huh.
Maybe I'll take some plus 120. My sources in Minnesota said it. KOC said this is by far his most talented team that he's had.
I buy it.
It's all about McCarthy,
isn't it? Of course
it
is. Yeah, but I'm not. I don't. That. I'm.
Do you find that schedule where they go Ireland, England to be a drawback or a positive?
Positive.
I think it is too.
Yeah. All right, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and Visa. And all you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. To trigger the $500 trifecta, you'll receive $200 in cash back. Rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match as well. VEASAN completes a trifecta with a free VEASAN Pro subscription through August 31st. That's a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bank, and VEASAN. Head to VEASAN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. We will get into today's Major League Baseball card coming up next. And I want you to expand on this because you said that there's a team to bet right now to win the league.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Mike Pallman for the vacationing Paulie Howard. We'll get into today's Major League Baseball card here, update some of these live numbers with games in action as we speak. But you did say during one of the breaks earlier that, in your opinion, it's now a buy time, forget about a division, on a team to win one of the leagues in baseball. Who are you that high on?
I'm very high on these Brewers. And part of it is Mizorowski, but part of it is, like I said, the way they're playing. Part of it is the fact that the Cubs seem to... You know, the Cubs came off a very tough trip where they went on the road and they had to face five top pitchers in 9 days. But then they came home and they struggled with Seattle in the series over the weekend. And now they've gone and blown the first two games against St. Louis. And I think the pressure is starting to mount on this Cubs teams that had this great wide margin of victory, that best in all of baseball for so long, and the hopes were so high in Chicago, and I think the noose is tightening a little bit there. So I think, you know, we talked about 4-1 to win the division. I think you have to take a look at the Brewers to win the pennant. Right now at Circa, you want 25-1, Mitch?
To win the National League, huh?
To win the National League. Who knows what the Dodgers will do? We don't know, and they sort of stumble along and twice a week start a guy you've never heard of, and they're still, what, one game back of the Tigers for the best record in baseball?
Yeah, right.
As they stumble along, and who knows what they're going to do. Give me 25-1 and get me the Brewers to the National League Championship Series, and we'll make some money.
That you could do,
yeah.
For sure. And I see, we always forget about this, right? Baseball playoffs are completely wide open every single year. So a team like that to get to the NLCS is absolutely feasible to me.
Well, who do you fear? I mean, what other juggernauts are there? Do you fear the Mets?
I do not.
Don't have enough starting pitching?
No.
Do you fear the Phillies? Phillies are a very solid, good team.
Yes.
You have to play well to beat them.
They're good.
Yeah, they're good.
They're
very
solid.
Very solid. And you got Suarez pitching well. This Christopher Sanchez has a big ceiling on him. And you get Wheeler. The bullpen has been worse than I thought they were going to be. But when I power rank the National League right now, I'd go Dodgers, Phillies, Brewers. And if you want to take the third team at 25-1, I say yes.
I would also fear the Braves a little bit.
If they make it.
If they get in.
If they make it.
You got to take them seriously. Yeah. If they get in. Mm-hmm. Also, I got to tell you, kind of high on this Giants team.
Yeah, I know. I took a flyer at 8-1 after the Devers trade for them to win the West.
Okay.
I think they're better than the Padres right now.
I do too.
I do. And I love the pitching. Everybody they throw out there seems to do a good job for them.
It doesn't really matter, right?
Right?
And you got an absolute stud in the guy who's going tonight in Logan Webb. And but he's not. Robbie Ray's having a really nice season, right?
Robbie Ray, you could talk about for Cy Young right now, actually being in the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, he's got those kind of numbers. Yeah. And if he would sustain it for a full year, might be in the mix. Yeah. But then to plug in a stick like Devers, oh, man, that is just so huge for that team.
Who's happy to be there.
Right? And they have an elite bullpen to date.
The bullpen is terrific.
So
they have a good manager.
I totally agree with that. And again, that would be a team that, you know, even if the Dodgers win 105 games, right, and they have home field and they win that division with all this parity, like if the Giants snuck in to the National League, if it was the NLC, if it was like Giants Brewers for the NLCS, that doesn't surprise me.
Mitch, we're all talking about this Dodgers dynasty. If the Padres don't go 25 innings without scoring a run, we're talking about the Dodgers getting knocked out in the first round last year. They had a bullpen game at Petco in game four. And shut the Padres out with a bullpen. They were looking at a bullpen game for their life. Yep. And then Yamamoto outdueled Darvish in game five. And that was it.
Huh. Was game five 2-0?
2-0. That was the final.
And that was following the game where they could not touch anybody in the bullpen game.
Right. And the other game, it was 6-5 after the third inning, game three, and it stayed that way. Remember?
That's
6-5,
right.
And nobody scored
it
the last six innings.
That. Yeah.
Yep. I'll never forget, though, the Dodger executive, who's friends of ours, he plays in the football contests. And I texted him when I saw Yamamoto was starting game one. And I said, boy, Flaherty must be hurt more than we know. And he said, no, we want Yamamoto in game five against Darvish if it comes to that. That's why he's starting game one.
Well, they knew what they were doing with that then.
What a plan.
Some in-game numbers right now. The Red Sox, this is Fitz against Kikuchi, by the way.
I don't know the other kid. I only know Kikuchi.
Kikuchi's been, by the way, his numbers at home are outstanding.
He had that start in Minnesota where he gave up like 11 hits in three innings.
Yeah. But he has not done that. I was just going to make the case here that it might be time to buy the Angels because Kikuchi has been so good tonight.
And I think they're losing.
How long will Fitz continue this good start? It was 2-0 when we started the segment. It's now 2-2.
Is it really?
Yeah. So here come the Angels now. And any of those plus prices, even like the run line, now they're, something. These numbers are changing so fast. But they were just minus $2 to win the game. Now they're minus 113. But it's basically a pick 'em right now with the live numbers. And the total is up to 8.5 from 6.5.
So I have under 3.5 first five in this Padres game. We're going to the bottom of the fifth, 1-0. And they have the 9-hitter up, of course, gets a hit. So you know what I like to do here, Mitch? Look at any run in the fifth prop, because they didn't score in the top of the fifth, obviously. Mm-hmm. As a way now, because if they get one or two runs, I still win. I still win my under 3.5, and I win the yes bet here. But I have to look. Obviously, the number would have been a lot better before the leadoff hitter got on. But let's see what they're offering for any run in the fifth inning.
It's actually, for books that allow that still when the team is batting, that's still pretty, it's a good option to have when you look
at
the middle
stuff. It is plus 140, so I will take it.
Okay.
Right? I'm laying 110, and I can win with, I'll still make it, so I still win if they score no runs.
Right, right.
But I could win with one or two, I would scoop.
Oh, sure. That's not bad.
Well, something happened. Now it's plus 170. So I bet 300, so let me bet 150 the other way. How about that?
Okay.
Okay.
Try to win both here then.
Try to get one or two runs.
All right, very good. How many other bets do you have on tonight's card?
I have a few. I went under first five, 3.5 again in the game with Logan Webb and Cabrera. Mm-hmm. Laid a little juice there, 120. I took the Rays tonight with Rasmussen on the road, minus 122. And I have the Cardinals and Fetty plus 133 against the Cubs. That's what's in pocket so far.
And you just plan on going against the Cubs right now?
Well, right
current
now.
Current form. It's
right now.
Yeah. Until they show you something again, that they're going to correct it?
I think you have to. I didn't play the Mariners tonight, and I've been fading the Twins. I think it's 8 or 9 in a row. Twins, opponent of the Twins and over has hit. And we'll talk about this a little bit, and you can't be serious, but George Kirby has been a shell of himself since coming.
Oh, boy.
And I just couldn't back the Mariners. I guess I could bet over 7.5 against Joe Ryan. I should blind bet it, but I just couldn't take the Mariners tonight because Kirby, he has not been himself since coming off the injured list.
Yep.
He's had one good start, one, at the Angels, and that was it.
You know, I bet the Mariners a long time ago at 33-1 to win the World Series when he was still on the shelf.
Yeah.
Along with Logan Gilbert, my thought is they're going to get all these starters back. I loved what I was seeing from the offense, right? They had turned a corner at that time when I made the bet. They were scoring runs. Cal Raleigh was off to this great season, but he wasn't the only guy. Like Polanco was playing really well. And I thought, I can have Kirby and Logan Gilbert added back to this rotation. I'm going to be sitting pretty. And every start, for the most part, has been, oh, boy, what happened to George Kirby?
Yeah. I was texting my friend that when he was pitching against the Cubs the other day. What happened to George Kirby? Meanwhile, the Astros have been playing really well. I didn't see this coming either.
No.
How about Framber? I know they got a no decision last night. Through eight starts, Framber's ERA was over 5, and now it's down under 3. That's pretty impressive what he's done his last 7 or 8.
Yeah, guy's been absolutely fantastic. There was one other player prop that I wanted to run by you for tonight. Not many books have it up, but I want to throw these numbers at you anyway, because Max Scherzer is going.
Ugh.
So offshore, I noticed his outs prop was 14.5. He pitched 4.5 innings at AAA Buffalo in his final rehab start. He struck out 8, allowed 1 hit. Overall, Mike, he made 2 rehab starts, 8 2/3 innings pitched, 2.08 ERA in 130 pitches. Is he going to go 5 innings tonight?
It's very hot in Cleveland, too. It's very hot and humid. I don't think so. I would bet that under.
And also the K prop, I believe, is 4.5 on him. I guess maybe he could hit that if he even gets 12 outs, but...
Yeah. Did you play the under in the...
I couldn't... I don't see a legal book offering. Only offshore books. Yeah. I don't have an out
at. But you would play it under.
I'd play under 14.5, yeah. Yeah. Time is running out. Enter to win a free entry into the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest. Proxy service included with $21 million in guaranteed prizes up for grabs. Deadline to enter is tonight at 11:59 p.m. Eastern time. Winners are going to be announced live this Friday on a numbers game with Gil Alexander, and they'll get exclusive strategy access to Gil all season long. All you have to do is go to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter now. Again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's pretty good, huh? You get a free entry into Survivor or Millions, and they're going to do the proxy service for you.
Not bad.
I would take that. If I'm driving around right now listening to the show, like, yeah, I got to sign up for that bad boy.
It's interesting, the competitive landscape, I'll tell you that, of these services.
How many are there now?
Oh, you don't know all the small ones.
I would have no idea.
Dave Tooley and Andy Isco have their own shop. So
their own shop.
Dave Tooley was here covering the Crazy Girl statue coming in this morning. You know, we got the famous iconic no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, okay.
It was delivered today.
All right, VSiN host Nick Whalen on the show coming up next. Big into the NBA. We'll discuss some futures he likes for next year and bets to make as of now in the NBA draft.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Tonight is the NBA draft starting in a couple of hours. You can still bet on this in a lot of different states in this country. And we head out here to the Progressive Guest Line to talk about that and maybe some futures in the NBA as well. As Nick Whalen joins the program now, you can hear him every day on Prop Points right here on VSiN at 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 a.m. out here on the West Coast. Nick, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. I'm doing well. Glad to be on the show. Big night, of course, in the NBA. We've had some huge trades over the last 24 hours, so glad to be here.
So of the numbers that are available on the board, and you're looking at the DraftKings numbers to go, you know, number 2, number 3, number 4 overall. Well, not number 2 because Harper's now minus 8,000.
Yeah.
But any of this stuff where the other players have turned into odds on, like Edgecombe to go third overall is now minus $6. Mm-hmm. Earlier today, Konkanepo was minus 170 to go fourth overall. He's now minus 250. Would you still be betting this stuff, or is it just way too late?
Yeah, I think he had to get in a little bit earlier on those, you know, exact pick markets. There's certainly no sense in betting number 1, not even number 2. You know, like you said, Dylan Harper now down to minus 8,000. But I still think those 3, 4, 5 picks are very much up for grabs. I mean, I'm seeing Edgecombe now at minus 600 to go number 3. I think the big question is it the Philadelphia 76ers who are ultimately making that pick? You know, I think of those teams in the top 3, you know, obviously Dallas and San Antonio both made big leaps to get up to 1 and 2 respectively. But to me, Philly is still the odd one out, right? That's the one that I think at the start of the season, someone told you, hey, the 76ers are going to have the 3rd pick in the draft, you would have said, well, this must have been a disastrous season on every level. And that's exactly what happened. So they're operating to me maybe a little bit differently than some of these other teams, particularly the teams picking 4, 5, 6. You know, those are your true bottom feeders, your teams that expected to be in this range. And, you know, I think Philly has a really interesting decision to make. You know, do you go with someone like BJ Edgecombe, do you possibly consider drafting Ace Bailey? These are guys who are probably going to help you more down the road than they are next season. And like it or not, you're still resigned to the fact that your team and your franchise is pinned on the hopes of Joel Embiid. And each year that passes, the more unlikely it is to me that he's going to stay healthy. So they're kind of trying to serve two masters here, where you want to pick up somebody who can help you in the short term. You don't want to sacrifice too much value, but there is kind of a win now versus upside equation that has to be taken into account with the 76ers. And look, if I'm Philly, I'd be looking to create a bidding war for that number three pick, you know, kind of hold it hostage if you can. Make Charlotte, make Utah, even the Washington Wizards, the Brooklyn Nets, who have five first round picks. If those teams want to move up, if you have two, three, four players or you're okay taking in that 2-6 range, I would not be surprised if the Sixers do try to move out of that third spot.
If they do that and a team moves into that spot for them, then is it for Edgecombe or is it for somebody else?
I think it would probably be Edgecombe. It depends on the team, right? And it depends on your evaluation of Ace Bailey. You know, I think the Washington Wizards seem to be the team that everybody is circling as, okay, Ace Bailey likely falls out of the top three. We think Con Knipple maybe goes four to Charlotte. You know, maybe we see Jeremiah Fears go five. Could be Trey Johnson out of Texas. But, you know, if the Wizards get word that somebody ahead of them is interested in Ace Bailey, and again, maybe that team is the 76ers, you know, in that case, yeah, you know, I don't think we can completely rule it out that Ace Bailey could go number three. It certainly feels like everything has trended against that. This has been a bizarre pre-draft process for him, but I still think there are teams that are in love with the talent. You know, you look at a team like Washington, what other path do you have to acquiring a talent like that? You know, we've seen them try and fail to tank their way into a top three pick over and over. It has not worked out. So, you know, I think all the messaging around Ace Bailey has been negative, but I still think there are teams out there that respect the talent.
Do you think that the Wizards have their heart set on Bailey, or would they be happy enough to get Fears at six if Bailey's gone already? Do you really think they would need to move up and spend capital to try to get Bailey?
Again, it's possible. I think it's perhaps more likely that Ace Bailey does just fall to them at number six, and maybe that's an easier decision. But to me, if you're the Washington Wizards, you know, you have needs everywhere, right? This isn't a draft where you say, all right, we need to get a small forward or we need to get a center. I mean, this thing, you're stripping it down from the studs, right? And I think yesterday's trade where they sent Jordan Poole out to New Orleans and brought in CJ McCollum, that's even more of a signal that this team is playing for the future. They're going to have north of $100 million in cap space this time next year. So you could sell me on Jeremiah Fears. I am a little more intrigued personally with Trey Johnson out of Texas. He's plus 550 right now to go number six. I think there is an expectation that he could be the guy who gets his number called at number five, although there have been plenty of people linking Jeremiah Fears to the Utah Jazz if they do indeed stick and pick at that fifth spot. I'm more intrigued with the size of Trey Johnson. You know, Jeremiah Fears, smaller guard, you know, both these guys can score. But to me, when I watched Trey Johnson at Texas, that was a guy that jumped off the screen. He looked like an NBA scorer. And you know, again, if I'm the Washington Wizards, I'm chasing as much upside as I can. Having north of $100 million in cap space, that's all well and good. You're still the Washington Wizards. You got to find somebody to actually give that money to. And we're not looking at, you know, a banner free agent class necessarily in the summer of 2026.
Matt Youmans the other day on the show brought up the idea that he would love if Oklahoma City would trade up and take Trey Johnson. He thinks that he would be the perfect guy for that team. And I completely agree. Isn't that kind of exactly what they need?
I mean, the Thunder don't really have any glaring needs at this point. I think they do have to start thinking about the future. And, you know, obviously some of these guys, these younger players are going to be up for contracts. And I think Lu Dort would be kind of the expendable piece, right? Somebody that you may not want to part ways with, but you might have to under this new CBA. And, you know, obviously Trey Johnson is a completely different player. He's a lot more offensive focused than Lu Dort is, but there are so many good defenders on this OKC team that I would not be surprised if we see the Thunder move up. They have pick 15. They have pick 24. You could try to package those. Is that enough to get you all the way up to number five, number six? I'm not sure, because that would require, you know, Washington to be okay moving out of the lottery. I could see OKC, you know, moving into the late lottery, into that, you know, 9-12 range. So I love the idea of Trey Johnson landing there. I'm not sure how feasible that is unless OKC is willing to put some of that future draft capital on the table, which they have plenty of it, but they have been hesitant to use it.
Nick, what is your opinion of Carter Bryant from Arizona? My opinion might be different than many of the draft experts. I find it almost unfathomable that he's going to go in the top 10. It looks like his floor, maybe even 12. Where do you think he lands in your assessment of him as a pro?
Yeah, he's a really interesting case, and he is, what, plus 425 right now to be the number 10 pick, and it does seem to feel like it's trending in that direction. You know, maybe Toronto takes that chance at 9. You know, it feels like the Suns want a big man, but, you know, they kind of need to go best player available. You know, I think both him and Colin Murray-Boyles out of South Carolina are somewhat similar players. You know, at least the offensive numbers for Murray-Boyles were a lot better than Carter Bryant's, but I think this is really a signification of, you know, what we're seeing from OKC, right? I think we always talk about the NFL, oh, it's a copycat league. I think the NBA is as well. And I think, you know, teams, especially small market teams, are seeing what OKC built. They're seeing the fact that the Thunder, you know, basically shot, what, 33% from three in the postseason and still cruised their way to a title because they were so good defensively. And I think this might be the new short-term model in the NBA, is let's load up on these, you know, 6'7", 6'8" guys. They can play the three, they can play the four, they can defend three or four spots. So if you look at the raw numbers for Carter Bryant, I'm totally with you, Mike. You're like, how the hell is this guy going to go in the lottery, let alone the first round? But I think teams are starting to project out defensive value even more so than they are offensive, especially as you get out of those top six or seven picks.
Some sports books are still offering players to go in the top five, top 10, maybe even top 20. Yep. Is there anything there that caught your interest that might be worth a bet in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned Colin Murray-Boyles. I don't know if I would go as far as to say he'll get picked in the top 10, but I did like his under 13.5 draft position. You can still get that at minus 130 over at the DK Sportsbook. Again, much like Carter Bryant, you know, a unique player, a little bit undersized, you know, measured in at 6'6.5 without shoes, but, you know, has a wingspan that's pushing 7'1". You know, a guy who shot 59% from the field last year, really has no jump shot to speak of. I don't know if that's ever going to develop, but, you know, again, the type of player that teams covet for his upside on the defensive end. And, you know, that would be somebody, if we're talking about OKC, you know, moving up to, say, the 11th, 12th, 13th pick, I think he's the type of guy that would fit perfectly in their system. I could see Portland, you know, they're trying to go with this more defensive focused team now. Chicago, Atlanta, I think all of those teams could be interested. I will say, guys, I'm not totally sold on Derek Queen. You know, I know there's been some momentum. Does he go top 10? The Suns have been a focus as a potential spot for him. I'm not sure we see him go inside the top 10. I think there's going to be too many question marks.
Nick, in about a minute here, have you made any future bets, or are you like trying to get down on a team to win the East or to win the West for next year?
You know, in the Western Conference, guys, I still think the Nuggets right now at 9-1 are probably the best value. You know, we're doing a lot of speculating on a team like Houston. Obviously, OKC is going to be a stalwart. They're at plus 150. But, you know, the Nuggets, to me, just having Nikola Jokic, having that core and having more flexibility this summer than they've had in previous years, I still think there's some value there at 9-1. In the Eastern Conference, guys, if you're looking for something a little bit off the board, I really like what the Atlanta Hawks did yesterday, basically stealing Kristaps Porzingis for free, you know, getting off of a really bad contract in Terrence Mann and really not giving up much to do it. Hawks are 22-1 right now to win the Eastern Conference. More pieces need to be added to this team, but you look at the top six right now, getting Jalen Johnson back from injury, I think this is an underrated roster.
Very cool. You can follow him on X. He's at Whalen, but it's spelled W-H-A, the number one E-N. And you can listen to him every single day on Prop Points right here on VSiN, 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock here on the West Coast. Nick, thank you. Enjoy the draft.
Appreciate it, guys.
Talk to you tomorrow, Nikki.
I can't imagine his reaction after this guy got an extension. Strong week for You Cannot Be Serious. Next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board. Mitch Moss along with Mike Pollman for the Vacationing Paulie Howard. We're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. It's time now for You Cannot Be Serious.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
You know, Mitch, some say that I pick on the Twins too much, but the announcement this week just had to be the headline of You Cannot Be Serious. In the midst of their 1-9 run, the Twins announce that they're picking up the option year for Rocco Baldelli for 2026. Yes, sir, he will be back. Obviously, Twins management gained confidence in their total collapse last August to miss the playoffs entirely. Did you know, Mitch, that in 2024, the Twins had Major League Baseball's longest winning streak at 12 games?
I knew that they went on a long one last year.
Somehow didn't make it to the wild card.
That's right.
You know that in 2025, the Twins have Major League Baseball's longest winning streak at 13 games. Yes, at 13 games, and they are 37-42. The outlier was the winning streak. They're 24-42 outside of that winning streak. This team is somewhere between the White Sox and the Pirates. Carlos Correa is talking about preparation as a real problem for this team. Who could that fall on? Who could that possibly fall on? Rocco Baldelli. Every single year he's been the manager, Mitch. Bottom five in Major League Baseball in stolen bases. He's got Buxton and Bader, and rarely will let either one of them steal. If you put a camera on him in the dugout, he's amazed when other teams advance on a fly ball. It's really amazing. The series against the Brewers this past weekend was classic black versus white, and that the Brewers are the antithesis of the Twins. All they do is put pressure on you from a defensive standpoint. They got a runner on base, they're going to steal. They're going to bunt. They're going to take the extra base. They're going to tag up, where the Twins do none of those things. And how about the mishandling of the pitching staff? I want to go back to the final game they had to play in Oakland about 3 weeks ago. Remember, Bailey Ober was supposed to start on a Wednesday night, and for whatever reason, he was pushed back to Thursday. What do they do? They call David Festa at 6 in the morning in Minneapolis and wake him up, take him to the airport, and fly him to Oakland to make that start. Why wouldn't they have started Ober that night and let Festa start at home on Thursday in Minneapolis? You know what they are since that decision? 3-14 since that move with the Slim Reaper. Minnesota Twins!
You cannot be serious!
Now we'll play As the WNBA Turns, which is a never-ending soap opera this week. We saw the Indiana Fever come off their big win over the New York Liberty two Saturdays ago and then have to face the awful Connecticut Sun. Well, the game gained all the headlines because of the physicality of it. Now, J.C. Sheldon, who's a point guard for the Suns, was a rival of Caitlin Clark in the Big Ten, if you didn't know. She was an All-American at Ohio State while Caitlin was at Iowa. There was an incident in the third quarter where she poked Caitlin in the eye. Then they came together. Then Martina Mabry came over and knocked Caitlin to the ground. There was a big to-do. They looked at the replays. A flagrant one for Sheldon. Nothing for Mabry for coming in and knocking her to the ground. Nothing. The NBA officiating is, you could go in Des Moines, go to the Wells Fargo Center at the state tournament, and come up with three better officials than what they have at the WNBA. Okay? I mean, Stephanie White should have got thrown out. They had the audio on her asking the officials, how about Mabry knocking her to the ground? Well, we had no good clear shot of that, the officials told her. So that led to street justice. And on the last minute of the game, Sophie Cunningham takes down Sheldon as she drives in for a layup, gets her in a headlock, and says, now do something. Now do something. The strong-fisted commissioner of the WNBA, Kathy Engelbert, and you won't see this in the headlines. It was published very quietly. On Friday of last week, lowered the hammer on Cunningham for her ejection in that game. Mitch, she was fined a record amount by the WNBA. Do you know how much that fine was?
I'm aware of this.
You can't take your wife to Barry's for $400.
You cannot.
They hit Sophie Cunningham with a $400 fine for her ejection. What is going on in this league? How about Dawana Bonner? She comes with Stephanie White, 15-year veteran, $200,000 a year free agent. She left the team after five games. She's take time away from the team. Reports are she doesn't want to play anymore for the Fever. Told she was going to be a starter. She started three games. Now she's on the bench. The two teams that might want her, they don't have enough salary cap room for her. They'd have to get rid of two players. I mean, this is a never-ending saga every week. And yet, my wife said, you want to go to the game and see Caitlin on Sunday? Mitch, I looked at tickets on Friday. You couldn't find a decent seat at T-Mobile, which holds 16,000 people, for less than $750.
Well, I was going to say, there's no doubt it was more than her fine.
She is the draw. I mean, she is the draw to this league, and yet they just can't get out of their own way. WNBA!
You cannot be serious!
I thought it was a terrific College World Series from the perspective of the competitive nature of the games, if not the quality of the fielding. But how about the first inning of Game 2 on Sunday afternoon between Coastal Carolina and LSU? Coastal needing to win to force a decisive Game 3 on Monday. The handling of this by the officials and the umpires was totally mind-boggling. It's the bottom of the first, scoreless game. Coastal is up there, the home team in Game 2. Runner on first, two outs. First pitch to the cleanup hitter. If you look at the ump cam, Angel Campos was the home plate umpire. The ball looks like it's about 8 inches inside. Runner steals, he calls it a strike. Batter, if you watch the cam, look at the different angles, if you can go back and find it. The batter is kind of incredulous that the count's 0-1. The first base coach, Matt Schilling, starts barking a little bit. Campos gives him a warning about arguing balls and strikes. The head coach for Coastal Carolina, Kevin Schnall, now steps up to the top of the dugout and yells, three. And he says to him, no more. He said, you've missed three calls so far. Bottom of the first, gone. Throws him out of the game. Now Schnall comes out on the field. I think it was the first base umpire comes down and trips over Campos, trying to get in between Campos and Schnall, and says, umpire contact, two more games. Schnall's getting suspended the first three games of next year, by the way. Then they go about and they throw out the first base coach as well. It's pretty incredible. He's going to be suspended for three games. Usually the universities will come out and they will apologize and say, you know, our coaches overreacted and this shouldn't have been done. It's very interesting that Coastal Carolina came out, the athletic director came out with a statement, Chance Miller, and said the decisions that were made with an alarming level of haste, without an attempt at de-escalation, and deprived our student athletes of the leadership they have relied on throughout a historic pennant run. This is not about a single call. It's about a process and professionalism. In the biggest moment of the college baseball season, our program and our student athletes deserved better. Very well said. Schnall, after the game, says, watch the video. There's no way I came in contact with the guy. The umpire comes running in, trips over another umpire, and says, I get another two games. I cannot be held accountable for a grown man's athleticism or lack thereof it. NCAA!
You cannot be serious!
Very good. Strong list. I don't know which one was worse this week. Overall, that's pretty bad.
That's a bad in a big moment.
That's really,
the guy
really
says you missed three calls and you're gone.
And you're gone.
And you're
gone. How about you know the moment? And again, these guys, man, this goes for any sport. They have the ultimate authority. Why are they the boss? And they never have to answer to anybody. I'd like to see somebody challenge and say, no, I'm not going anywhere. I refuse to acknowledge that you have the authority to kick me out of this game right now for what I just said. So you're going to have guys carry me out and back to the clubhouse right now because I'm not going to step foot out of the dugout.
His AD probably would have supported him.
Probably. You know, it's any sport that you want to talk about when you have bad officiating and they never have to answer for it when the game's over with. So, by the way, how is the all-in stay at Circa going here in the summer? It's only $400.
We've booked 4,000 of them already.
4,000.
The most, and it's not over, obviously, right? You can still book them through August.
Sure.
I think we did like 3,200 last summer. We booked four. It's very, very popular.
So here's what you get. It's a two-night stay at Circa, a $100 dining credit, and you guys have excellent restaurants here, a $100 beverage credit. So what, you can use that at any bar here or at like Stadium Swim?
Or at Stadium Swim when you use your day bed.
You can, okay. Mm-hmm. And so you get your own day bed as well at Stadium Swim. Yeah. That's where the party never stops. This is all for only $400. Resort fees, taxes, all included. How nice is that? You go there, you're going to book it. Hey, it says $400 and then... You know what I'm talking about?
All the add-on fees, the parking and the tax. This is taxes too.
Taxes, everything, right?
Yeah.
No matter where you go, $400 turns into like $580 nowadays. Not here. Limited time offer through September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. More than 4,000 people, huh?
More than 4,000 reservations. We're starting to get squeezed on the Sundays now. You know, it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday. We're starting to run out of the Sunday, Mondays because of the number of day beds. That's the only constraint. When you get all the day bets full.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's been a better summer overall. Las Vegas, typically this time of year, not exactly the tourism spot that it is throughout the rest of the season, you know?
It's a little warm, and people tend to take their children to other destinations when they're out of school.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Up next, we'll get into some Major League Baseball, including a new tool here at VSiN that I encourage you to look at every single day with a strikeout prop. We'll tell you how it's... the results are faring so far with today's games next here on Follow the Money.